Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Nick and worship and media teams for helping us worship today. If you enjoyed those worship praise sets, congregational worship, take your Bible this afternoon and look at the chapter Isaiah chapter 6, and then look at Revelation chapter 4. Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4, you go read those two well-known chapters. You've read them before. And the last song, Holy Forever, Chris Tomlin puts a puzzle in the song. He says, thousands of generations are going to sing the song of the ages. But he never explicitly tells us what the song of the ages is. But it's there in the song. You have to use your brain. He does it creatively. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you've been singing it from the very first words this morning. Pastor Nick had you singing the song of the ages. In the Old Testament, it's there. In the New Testament, it's there. It's visions in the future in heaven. They are still singing the song of the ages. And you've been singing it all morning long. I'm not going to tell you the puzzle. Ruby Nan, Missy likes puzzles. Isaiah 6, Revelation 4. Don't look at it now. Turn to Joshua chapter 2 now. We're going to look at the second chapter of Joshua. And this afternoon, you go and solve the puzzle Pastor Nick has given you the answer to. And we're going to look at this powerful book, the book of Joshua. We're in this series, Reclaiming the Promise. I've entitled Joshua 2, the message here out of this chapter, Prostitute to Proselyte. What a powerful story of a Canaanite prostitute. Now, when you read the book of Joshua, in the Hebrew, we get the name Joshua as actually his second name. One of the two faithful spies of the 12 spies that Moses sent out the first time into the land, the first time the Hebrews came to the edge of the promised land to take it, and of course they faltered and failed. They were literally first down and 1 yard to go for a touchdown, and they took a knee four times in a row and never went in. Didn't even try. Fail. God says, you know what? My promise to Abraham is true, and my people will have the promised land for 1,000 generations and 1,000 generations, but this generation will pass, and I'm going to raise up another generation. Your children will be given a chance to go in, and we're there. And so he raises up a new leader. Now, his name, given to him by his mom and daddy, where it was... Hosea. But Moses said, now Hosea means salvation. Moses said, no, I'm going to add a word to your name. You're going to be Yehoshua. Yehoshua. Joshua. So when you read, Yehoshua means Yahweh is salvation. Now, the Jews never pronounced Yahweh. That was the holy name of God. They never pronounced it. They don't even spell it. Even when they spell God, the Orthodox Jew only spells G in English, G-D. When you read any Orthodox Jew writing, they don't even put the O in God. And the reason is it's so holy you don't even speak it. So they use the word Jehovah. So what is the New Testament English word that corresponds to Joshua? It's our Savior Jesus, which means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. Yahweh is salvation. And so when we read the book of Joshua, you are literally reading one of the greatest illustrations of deliverance, spiritual deliverance. The book of Yahweh is salvation. That's literally what you're reading in the Hebrew. And so when we get to chapter 2, what we see is the story of how God uses a Canaanite prostitute named Rahab. Rahab is so instrumental that she's mentioned more in the New Testament than she's mentioned in the Old Testament. She's only found in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, she is found in three books. And in Hebrews, she is listed among the heroes of the faith. She's there with Abraham. She's there with David. And it says, by faith, Rahab the prostitute welcomed the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. There is the story of Joshua 2, verses 8 and 9. This is going to be our theme verse, and then we're going to walk through selected scriptures of chapter 2 as we look at the book of Yahweh is salvation, the Lord is salvation. Now, picking up in verse 8 of chapter 2, before the men fell asleep, these are the spies, before they laid down where she had put them in hiding, she, Rahab, went up on the roof and said to them, these Hebrew spies, two of them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that the terror of you has fallen on us. And everyone who lives in the land is panicking because of you, you Hebrews. For the Lord your God is God in heaven, above, and on earth below. Here is a Canaanite prostitute who makes a confession of faith and says, your God is the God of all of heaven and all of earth. That is a powerful, transformational statement that is so powerful, she is listed in the book of the heroes of the faith. Today I want us to look at what is a true saving faith. If Rahab is an example of someone who got saved by faith in the true living God, she had true saving faith in the true living God, what type of faith did she have? Because there's a lot of people say, I got faith, I got faith. Hey, James answers that question, is it real or not? He says, even the demons believe in God and they tremble. But they don't have a saving faith. They're still disobeying, but they know there's a God. You know there's a God? Friend, that's not going to save you. Everybody with neurons in their head ought to know there's a God. Look up in the sky, you ought to know there's a God. But they are trembling because they are rebelling against Him. But you and I need to know, what is saving faith? What is true faith of the heart? What is true faith that will change my life like it changed Rahab the prostitute's life? Now, these Old Testament books are very valuable because they teach us, they illustrate for us the life of faith that is seen in fulfillment in the New Testament with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder what Rahab's life was like. She wasn't always a prostitute. We find out in this text, she has a mother and father and brothers and sisters, and she was raised in a Canaanite world and a Canaanite culture, and they had all of their idols and false gods, and she was taught to worship them, that these gods would protect you, these gods would provide for you, and they bring rain on your crops, and they provide security from your enemies, and they would have a god for all of these things. There's a god, and they had all of their idols like all those other nations had. And she was raised in evidently the city of Jericho. It had its own king. Every Canaanite city had its own, it was its own little kingdom. And she was raised, she was just a little girl, but at some point in her life, surely something happened. How do you go being raised in a family, in a world, and your life is set for you. You are the lady of the red light district. You will live in a house between the two walls of this city. And you'll live kind of in a far up top, on the top of the wall, kind of away from everybody else. And you'll be a harlot. Not much of a job to have. Not much of a place in society to have. Did her family reject her? That's not someone you tell, oh, my son over here is the mayor of the city. My other son is the city engineer. My daughter over here runs a fabric store. Well, don't you have another daughter named Ray? Well, we don't talk about her. And then she hears a story that trickles down. It has gone for 40 years, and it's made it to a city of Jericho about the God of a helpless Hebrew nation. And something about that story, that their God, they only had one God. They didn't have multiple gods. They only had one God, Jehovah God, they called him. And that he delivered this helpless people, people who didn't have a fortified city, people who didn't have an army, people who didn't have any structure, and they were slaves in Egypt. And God defeated the mighty nation of Egypt and the pharaohs and set them free. What kind of God is that? That is an awesome God. Surely, that is the God I need to worship. Not like my false gods around here. Maybe there is salvation. If he could save these poor, helpless Hebrew people from the mighty Pharaoh through a miracle, maybe he could do a miracle in my life and my life could change. And I could go from being a prostitute to have a life, a new life, a rescued life. You see, we know these things that I've told you about Rahab. She's mentioned, and I'm going to reference Matthew 1:5 at the end of the message. Today, I want us to look at Rahab's faith as an example of a saving faith. What type of faith will save you? Well, when we look at Rahab's life, what we see is a response of faith. That is, in the 8th verse, as I've mentioned, she says, I know. I know that the Lord has given you this land and that the terror of you being on our border again, not like the first time, but now like the second time, you have come and we have heard how God delivered the people of the Hebrews from the Pharaoh, and we are panicking. In fact, the entire land of Canaan is panicking because we now see your God delivers you, and your God has said, this land that we occupy is really your land. And we're in terror. Now, how did she know this? As I've mentioned, it's because she heard it. She heard it. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings you completely destroyed across the Jordan. And when we heard this, we lost heart. We had no courage, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and earth below. You, my friend, need to understand that God reveals himself to us, that God reveals himself to you. And when you hear the gospel, when you hear that Jehovah is the God who saves, that he is the Lord of salvation, he is the one who delivers his people, then you have an opportunity to respond to that truth. This kind of truth must be brought to you. This kind of truth is something you must hear. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is he saying here? You don't just dream this up on your own. The divine God of all eternity comes and he reveals his word to you, and you respond to it. She was just simply responding in belief to what she had heard about this awesome God who delivers. It's not only a saving faith that responds, but saving faith eventually reveals itself. You see, God reveals the truth to you. You respond, and if it's real, if it's from the heart, you will make your faith known. You will reveal outwardly what you believe on the inside. She says to these two Hebrew spies who've made their way to her house to hide. They've been sent out by Joshua to spy the land, to see the condition. You notice he didn't send out 12. He said, I'm just going to pick the two that actually believe. We're going to just send out two believing spies this time. I'm not asking for your opinion. Just go tell me what it is and what the lay of the land is, and bring me back a report. I've already made the decision what we're going to do. God's already made the decision of what we're going to do. We're going to take this land. I need to know what it looks like on the other side. And they found her house. I've always wondered, why did they find it? I believe God took them there, obviously, but I also believe this. It wasn't odd for strange men to be in Rahab's house, if you get my drift. So it's probably a natural place for them to, like, hey, well, let's hide out somewhere. Where would we go? Well, you would go to Rahab's house. But here she, in just her powerful way of saying, I am telling you publicly, I am saying it, and yes, I'm still here in my city, and yes, I'm surrounded by all these false gods, and yes, I'm still in the same culture. I want you to hear this. Truth, now you've heard this, culture eats strategy for breakfast. That's some big, you know, management principle. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. Well, let me tell you what eats culture. God's truth eats culture for strategy. People say, I don't know how, if you were raised in that culture, how you could ever come to faith in Jesus, because your culture would be so real and that's all you ever knew and that's how everybody else grew up. So you would never become a Christian, or you would never put faith in. I'm going to tell you something. You are discounting the power of Almighty God to reveal himself and to call people to himself. The truth will eat culture for breakfast every time, but it's got to be God's truth, empowered by his Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, don't discount what the gospel will do if you'll just preach it and teach it and share it. The Bible says in the Old Testament, his word will not return void. It will accomplish its task, its purpose. That's because it's God's word, not my word. It's God's word, not your word. I want to encourage you today to realize that saving faith eventually reveals itself, and she revealed her truth. The truth, her salvation, her conversion, her move from prostitute to proselyte. She had already placed her faith in Jesus Christ before their spies ever came to her. She didn't respond to what the spies were doing. She had already heard the gospel of that God of the Hebrews is the God of salvation. That was good news to her. Now, we all know in the Old Testament, they're pointing to the future, that God will provide the Savior, the Messiah. But there by faith in the Old Testament, they were already responding, God is the God of salvation, the one true living God, and His plan will be the plan that saves the world. His people will be saved. And so here, Rahab makes a public confession. She reveals her faith, and there is a change from her Canaanite ways and her false gods, and real faith will change your culture. You say, well, I still like the way, No. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, culture of this world passes away. You become a follower of the truth, of the way. It's a change, baby. And also, saving faith is a rising faith. If you know the story of Rahab and the two spies, some people in the town saw those guys going in her house, and they realized those people are those, those two guys are those Hebrews that are camped on the other side there. And they're in Rahab's house. They get word to the king of Jericho. Every city in Canaanite had its own king. And that king says, well, let's go up to Rahab's house. And he asks her. And Rahab says, after he tells her, bring out those men who came to you and entered your house, for they've come to investigate our entire land. Here's what she says. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, so she said, yes, the men did come to me, but I didn't know where they were from. At nightfall, when the city gate was about to close, the men went out, and I didn't know where they were going. Well, she lied. She had hidden them up in the flax on the roof. They would put flax on the rooftop to dry out. Then they'd pound that flax and make fabric out of it and make thread, and that's how they would make their different cloths and things. And so she said, y'all better get on up. Well, before they laid down, she talks to them, but before that, she had hid them up there. And so she lied. Now, many of y'all are going to take this story and say, there's a great ethical dilemma here. And oh my gosh, I have read all kind of stuff on this. But let me just give you some basics. Children, it's wrong to lie. Don't lie. That's what I'm going to say, number one. And I'm going to say number two, before y'all start throwing shade on poor Rahab, do you think she's the only believer in Jehovah God that ever lied? No. How about Abraham and Sarai? Y'all remember that story? Oh, the father of faith lied to save his hide. How about David? You talking about a liar? Dude was a liar 10 times over. And he's a man after God's own heart. That's why I say, if you say, well, some people say, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not because I still have a problem with this and I have a struggle with this and I'm not perfect yet. You're not going to be perfect on earth. The question is not, what are you doing for God? The question is, what do you believe God has done for you in Jesus Christ? Do you place your faith in what God has done in Christ, or are you trying to prove that you're good enough to be saved? Friend, we're growing in our faith. Poor Rahab hadn't even had a chance to tell anybody that she was a believer, and yeah, she should not have lied. Now, I know there's all kind of just war theories and when you can lie, and all. I get all that, but I'm just going to tell you, don't lie. Trust God, and don't throw stones at Rahab. You live in a glass house. You're not arrived yet either. She didn't arrive. And when you're saved, your faith will mature. It'll rise. We're going to finish this story here before 2 o'clock this afternoon, and you're going to be real happy. You're going to see that her faith continued to rise, to mature. So saving faith is rising faith. And yes, the Bible reports a lot of things that it does not support. And yes, it does report that she lied. That doesn't mean it always supports what it's reporting. So, then fourthly, saving faith is a realized faith. It's a realized faith. What do I mean by that? That it is put into real action. It's not just something you think about. It's not just something that you believe that is a statement. It is something you act on. And here she acts on her faith. And saving faith is always realized. It's always put into the real world. Not just something your mind thinks, but that your hands do, that your life is an example of. In verse 6 and 15 and then verse 21, we see how she puts her faith into the real world and puts it into action. But she had taken them up on the roof and hidden them among the stalks of flax that she had arranged on the roof. There she is hiding the spies. Friends, she put her life in danger. But my friend, these were people of her new faith. These were people of the God that she worshiped. These two spies were her family. And she knew if they got found out, those Canaanites would kill them. So she's protecting. I'm telling you, what kind of faith does that? A saving faith, a real faith. Notice verse 15. After she had talked to them and they made a deal, we're going to talk about that in the next point, she lets them down by a rope through the window. So she lived in a house that was built into the wall of the city. And then she gives them an escape plan. And she says, now you go to the hill country. You go to the mountains so that when these men of the city start pursuing you, they won't find you. Now hide there for 3 days until they come back. Afterwards, then go on your way. And after they had gone, she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They made a deal and said, we're going to protect you and we're going to protect your family when we come and take Jericho. We will protect you and everybody in your house and tell them, stay in that house. Do not leave that house. And here's the sign. Put this scarlet thread on your window and our people will know whoever is in that house of that window, they're ours. They're our friends. Protect them. Now think about this. Remember when they marched around the city of Jericho? Day one, how many times? One time. They did that for 6 days. Those people walked around that city 6 times. And each time they saw the window with that scarlet thread. And then on the 7th day, how many times? 7 times. They marched around, if my addition is correct, 13 times around that city, and for 13 times they saw that scarlet thread, and they knew, whatever y'all do, don't mess with the people in the house with the window that has a scarlet thread in it. See, she acted on her faith. She was willing to put her life in jeopardy, and she acted on her faith. Let me ask you this. Do you think you can just live a life of following Christ and nobody know it? Friend, that's not saving faith. All you're involved in is a philosophy class. Jesus changes your life. And that's what happens here. In James, it says of Rahab in the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. He's saying you can have a lot of different types of faith, but saving faith is always realized faith. It's put in the real world. It acts. It does good works. And one reason we know that Rahab is an example of real saving faith is because she was willing to put her life on the line for what she believed. It was realized faith. And then the last point, and all the people said, amen. It's a saving faith because it's a reaching faith. Real saving faith of good news is not something you can keep to yourself. Look what she made a deal with the spies. She said, now please swear to me by the Lord that you will also show kindness to my father's family because I show kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers, sisters, and all who belong to them and saved us and save us from death. So that's the deal that she made. I always kind of wondered about this deal. She is a prostitute. She's not married. Notice there's no husband, there's no children of her own that she's wanting saved. I don't know, but I just kind of think, I believe she's the outcast of the family. I just don't know how you say, yeah, we got one daughter that's a harlot. Yeah, you know, at the family dinner, oh yeah, that's Rahab the harlot over there. No, I don't know that they even cared for her, that they even knew, even tried to think about her. And yet, when she saw the chance to be delivered, the first thing she does is not just try to save herself. She thinks about her family. Will they be delivered from the certain judgment that's coming on this city? Will they be saved? Can they be rescued? And she makes a deal. Now, I've saved you two. Now, you got to make a deal with me. Save my mama. Save my daddy. Save my brothers and my sisters and all their family. And you read the chapter, they say, okay, I'm sure. Make sure they stay in this house. Don't wander out. When we come, hunker down. Don't leave this house, and they'll be safe. Chapter 6 of Joshua tells us that's exactly what happened, and they lived among the Israelites the rest of their days. Go Tell Crusade in our city gives us a great opportunity as people who've been rescued and delivered to tell people who have yet to be rescued, delivered, how to be rescued. That's all you do when you share your testimony and the good news of the gospel. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we all need Jesus. You come to faith and receive His grace, and God gives you eternal life. He makes you right where you were not right, where I'm not right. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But by God's love and grace, Jesus died in your place. And on the third day, God raised Him again so that you can be raised again and have eternal life with God forever and ever. That's the way it was always meant to be. But our selfishness broke it. We destroyed it in our sin and selfishness. And Jesus came to bring you back to God. You can be rescued. You're going to want to tell everybody who's yet to be rescued how to be rescued because Jesus saved you. And we see this as an illustration in Rahab's life. Salvation is always meant to be shared. Now, I want to close with this idea. When I think about Rahab, like I told you, she's mentioned in James, and we've read that. She was mentioned in Hebrews, and we read that. But there's one more mention in the New Testament, and it tells the rest of the story. Saving faith changes not only the dimension of your life on earth, but the direction of your life for all eternity. It changes how you live right now, and it changes where you're going to spend life after death on this earth for all eternity in heaven, or will you spend it separated from God in hell? It's one or the other. She chose to place her faith in the one true living God that delivers and rescues. You see, I believe Rahab is more like us than we think, because Rahab is mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, in the genealogy of Jesus. It turns out Rahab does get married, and she marries an Israelite named Solomon, and they have a son named Boaz who marries a Moabite girl named Ruth. And I always got to thinking, why would Boaz, a Hebrew, a Israelite, marry a Moabite, a non-Israelite? Could it be that he saw how God changes people? In his mother, Rahab. You see, in James, she's called Rahab the prostitute because James is talking about her past when she was living in Jericho and helped the spies. Hebrew says the harlot Rahab, when she expressed faith while living in Jericho. But Matthew mentions the rest of the story where she was married and she had children and she was saved. She changed her life. And in Matthew's gospel, it only calls her Rahab. You see, you are not your past. And I don't care how down and out your experience was. I don't care how hard it's been in the past. You can have a new day. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. He will change you. He will save you. He will rescue you from the judgment that is coming. You can be saved. If Rahab can be changed, you can be changed today. Place your faith in Christ. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our mighty God, we come before you today, and I ask you that, Lord, you do your work that only you can do. I pray that today, Lord, you would do a work that someone would just, by faith, just trust you and say, Lord, I need to be saved. I've never given my life to Christ. I've never honestly even admitted to you, Lord, and confessed, I am a sinner. And I can't save myself. I've been praying and trying and doing, but I've never just yielded my life to your call. And I believe you're calling me to be saved, calling me to be a Christ follower. I know there's all these options out there and everything the world tells me and these false religions, but my heart knows that it's Jesus that died for me, that it's Jesus that was raised again for me. I'm going to follow Christ. I sense you're calling me to be saved. And I'll place my faith in you. Save me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe someone here today has given their life to Christ and ready to take their stand for Christ, to profess it. And maybe someone needs a church home, or they just need, Lord, to say, I've been wallowing in my past too long. I'm ready to put my head up and be a grateful follower of Christ and look at what you can do. You're the God who is salvation and delivers. So, Father, do your work in our life today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you respond as God leads you? Let's stand together and you come. Amen.